Homily for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, October 9th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. One of the themes that shines through in the readings we just heard is gratitude. How often do we recognize and give thanks for the gifts God gives us? How often do we consider the ways we can share the gifts we have been given in order to benefit both ourselves and others? Can we see ourselves in how Naaman the Syrian and the Samaritan gave thanks to God? Every year in the fall, we at St. Mary's conduct some sort of time and talent campaign. We've tried different things in the past few years to keep it fresh, but most often we've prepared a brochure in the pews for parishioners to fill out. Well, this weekend we are doing something a little different. A parish I visited a few months ago put together ministry cards for various liturgical tasks at their church, with a description of what the ministry is and how to get involved. Well, I decided to borrow that idea. In the church entrance, you will find a display with cards of several of these ministries. We invite you to look the display over and take whatever ones in which you are interested. What am I referring to specifically? We can always use more suitable candidates as extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, especially now that we will be returning to offering Holy Communion under both forms later this fall. This is a ministry regulated by 3-year terms granted by the bishop, but recommended by us. We can always use more lectors at Sunday Masses, as well as sacristans to help set up for those masses. This last job is a bit more time-consuming, but with more people doing it, the goal is that each person's turn comes up less often. I also want to mention the Ministry of Hospitality, namely ushers and greeters. I would like to have teams that we can organize for each of the weekend masses. What we now have are loose configurations of volunteers who pitch in on the Sundays when they are here. Now, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the service all of you provide. With the concerns that we have nowadays regarding many things, including building security, we would be better served with a team responsible for each of the weekend masses. We will be holding a mini-retreat for our liturgical volunteers next Monday evening, the 17th, at 7 p.m., to go over our procedures and prayerfully look at the ways our contributions give honor and glory to God. I am planning to approach certain parishioners individually and requesting their help, but you could beat me to the punch by throwing your hat in the ring and offering to share your gifts. Thanks again to those who are already assisting us, and thank you all for your consideration. Several different kinds of suffering arise from an illness. The most obvious is the physical suffering of certain symptoms, the things doctors prescribe medicines to counteract. But there are other very distinct forms of suffering. For example, there may be an emotional toll from not being able to enjoy the same quality of life as before. There may be loneliness due to the isolation of home confinement or decreased contact with friends. Or there could be a social suffering in cases where the community attaches a stigma or shame to the disease one has. This is what the 10 lepers experienced in today's gospel. Once their illness was evident, they were cast out from their homes and towns into a colony, presumably never to mingle with the healthy townsfolk again until they died. Because leprosy was considered to be very contagious, according to the law, these 10 had to loudly announce unclean to any passersby who might be unaware that they were lepers. It was a thoroughly miserable existence. You may be protesting, well, wait a minute, in such a primitive society, there was very poor cleanliness or personal hygiene compared to today. Plus, their medical knowledge was so limited. For crying out loud, 200 years ago, many doctors used bloodletting as a remedy. leprosy has all been but eradicated in the U.S. isn't what you're talking about ancient history? Well, those things are all true. Leprosy is now called Hansen's disease, named after Dr. Gerhard Hansen, the Norwegian physician who first identified the bacteria that causes the infection, and whose research led to the near eradication of it, at least in developed countries. But I'd argue that many illnesses contain a stigma even to this day. And this experience is perhaps not as foreign as it would otherwise be. The last time these readings came up on a Sunday in the fall of 2019, I had never heard of a novel coronavirus, and neither had you. None of us had any idea that a pandemic could turn the world upside down or threaten the health and quality of life of so many people. There's a new familiarity with what the people in Palestine had to do to keep leprosy at bay. We tried our best to continue to be the body of Christ for one another and take the changes in stride. The joke went that as public health officials asked us to maintain 6 feet of physical distance from each other, North Dakotans replied, 6 feet, isn't that kind of close? Variants of this wretched virus will be floating around for the foreseeable future. But praise God, we have come through the worst of it. We can fight the disease and step away from the inclination to treat everyone as diseased. We need to highlight a couple of things about Jesus' response to the 10 men with leprosy. First of all, our Lord did not flee from them or chase them away. Some of his disciples may have thought, "What are you waiting for? Tell these guys to take a hike." But we see no shrinking back in fear. No disease or stigma thereof has power over him, and so there's no room for fear. Secondly, it may surprise us that Jesus simply tells them to show themselves to the priests. A healing occurs, but where are the outstretched hands or chanting of Hebrew prayers? No such gestures are forthcoming. Christ gave them this instruction because only the village's religious authority, verifying that the men were disease-free, could publicly reinstate them in their homes, places of worship, and workplaces. The men could not make such a declaration themselves. In his abundant mercy, Jesus both healed their leprosy and gave them their lives back. The final part of the story tells us that only one of the 10 sought out the Lord afterward to thank him. One might expect the foreigner, the Samaritan, to be self-absorbed and absent-minded, but he ended up being the grateful one. Here is the connection to our first reading. Naaman was a big-shot general in the Syrian army. He contracted leprosy and, assuming that his days were numbered, was in desperate straits. An Israelite servant girl in Naaman's household said, "If only Naaman would go to my home country and see a wonder worker there named Elisha, he would find help." Thinking, "Well, what do I have to lose?" Naaman made the trip to Elisha, who instructed Naaman to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. That's where the reading picks up today, but Naaman was not a happy camper. He complained that Syria had much more beautiful rivers in which he could bathe. Compared to them, the Jordan River was a lousy, muddy, tiny creek. Think of how different the Red River looks in Wahpeton compared to how it looks up in Winnipeg. His advisors replied, "If Elisha had asked you to do something difficult or arduous, you'd have put on your macho man hat and hopped to it. What do you have to lose if you try what he proposes?" Grumbling, "Yeah, you're right," Naaman plunged into the waters and was cured. It was only proper then, he thought, to make a grandiose gesture of his appreciation by offering expensive gifts to the prophet Elisha and to declare his trust in the God of Israel. Elisha humbly declined the gifts because he didn't want people to think of him as a king storing up treasures, as though the power of the word of God came only from him. Most of us here may be thinking, "Well, what does any of this have to do with me?" Except for the usual aches and pains and maybe some other things, I'm doing fine. Well, St. Luke presents the 10 lepers to represent all of us, insofar as we are afflicted by sin. Every one of us needs healing from Jesus as badly as they did. We who live in a culture that is not serious about personal sin, a culture that swallows whole the devil's lies that sin is not real and therefore not poisonous, are tempted to respond to the church's teaching with conceit. We may echo the lyrics of the old Kenny Loggins song, "I'm all right, don't nobody worry about me, won't you just let me be?" If I'm not in a state of grace, I am not all right. It doesn't matter what I say. A salve one applies to a wound produces a burning discomfort, but eventually takes the ailment away. In the same manner, confessing our mortal and venial sins in the sacrament of reconciliation wounds our pride. But the pain is temporary, and we walk out of the confessional lightened of the load of guilt and renewed in the Holy Spirit. Today, the Lord invites us to look to the Samaritan man as a model of prayer. He begins with the humble petition for Jesus to have pity on him. Within that declaration is both a sorrow for his sins and a request for healing, knowing well that he cannot supply the cure for either one by himself. Once he is healed, he doesn't pretend that nothing important happened, but immediately expresses his gratitude personally to Jesus. Think of how much healing God can bring to the world in his church, and yet how little of it happens, for no better reason than that his children refuse to admit it when they are sick. Amen.